Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Today we're going to read many short articles from a supplement to USA Today published by Media Planet. The diabetes awareness pamphlet includes personal stories, information on diabetes and CBD, emerging needle technology, and nutrition information. If one piece is not to your interest, maybe the next will be, as we hear from medical professionals and Black Panther star Winston Duke. We asked an expert what CBD can do for people with diabetes. David Zoyner is the CEO of Miracle Nutritional Products and a leading expert on all things CBD. We sat down with him to get some answers on some of the most common questions being asked by the diabetes community. Are there health benefits of using cannabidiol oil for diabetes? In order to understand the benefits of CBD, you must first understand the endocannabinoid system. It is a group of endogenous cannabinoid receptors located in the brain and throughout the central and peripheral nervous systems and their receptors. Why did you want to get involved with CBD? Many years ago, I discovered CBDE liquid while researching alternative methods to treat health issues for several family members. I started making CBDE liquid for them. Thus far, what are the proven health benefits of CBD for those with conditions like diabetes? CBD is a neuroprotectant, natural anti-inflammatory, and natural pain reliever. CBD is used to promote one's overall health and well-being. Our next column, the right diabetes care can avoid amputations and save lives. Diabetes can cause foot ulcers that threaten limbs, but there are steps that you can take to mitigate your risk. Diabetes is the fastest growing disease in the United States. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention predict that by 2050, one out of three Americans will be diabetic. Anywhere from 1 in 4 to 1 in 6 of those patients will get an ulcer, which is an open sore or wound, typically on the bottom of the foot. Without the proper care, ulcers can lead to infection and amputation. Patients who suffer a below-knee amputation have a 68% 5-year mortality rate. That's higher than the 5-year mortality rate for breast cancer, prostate cancer, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma combined. As a podiatrist, one of my most important jobs is to treat those ulcers and help patients avoid amputations. We've seen a lot of evolution in wound care. There have been incredible advances in the products we use to treat serious diabetic wounds. We have products that include stem cells, which differentiate into muscle, tendon, bone, fat, and skin. They also stimulate the growth of blood vessels, which is critically important because good blood flow promotes healing. Some physicians might say, "It's just a toe, take it off." My philosophy is simple. If you save the toe, you save the foot. If you save the foot, you save the leg. If you save the leg, you save the life. If you have diabetes, have a regular foot exam with a physician. Check your feet daily, or if you can't, ask a loved one for help or use a mirror. If you notice any change in your feet, see your podiatrist immediately. Diabetes is not going away in our lifetimes, but with the proper care team and personal vigilance about changes in your health, you can manage your diabetes and prevent some of its most serious complications. Black Panther star Winston Duke wants to start a conversation about diabetes. While he notes it's not as sexy as other diseases, Winston Duke knows firsthand how serious diabetes can be. Diabetes affects an estimated 30.3 million people in the United States. Among those with the disease are several family members of Black Panther and Us actor Winston Duke. My grandmother passed away from diabetes complications, and I've lost two aunts and an uncle and multiple cousins to diabetes complications, said Duke. But diabetes isn't actually a death sentence. While it can be a dichotomy with the disease, as it is very serious and can lead to consequences, as it did with my family, it can be managed with nutrition and exercise. Arming people with the tools necessary to combat diabetes is really important. Proper diet and exercise can really help. Managing a prediabetes diagnosis. Duke has prediabetes, which means his average blood sugar levels are higher than normal, but not high enough to signify type 2 diabetes, T2D. The diagnosis changed the way Duke lives. I eat practically once every 3 hours to control my insulin levels. I work out regularly and eat complex carbohydrates and foods with a low glycemic index, Duke said. Those foods include whole grains, fruits, non-starchy veggies, and lean protein. The hallmark of T2D is insulin resistance. Insulin is a hormone that transports glucose, blood sugar, the body's primary energy source, to the cells. Insulin resistance prevents glucose from reaching the cells, causing the pancreas to go into overdrive in producing insulin until it can no longer keep up. This process causes glucose to accumulate in the bloodstream. Persistently elevated blood sugar can cause complications like the ones from which Duke's family suffered, including nerve damage, blindness, kidney damage, stroke, and heart disease. While genetics can play a role in insulin resistance and T2D, anyone with a family history of diabetes can help prevent complications with diet and exercise. But it all starts with a conversation. We need to change what the definition of awareness is, Duke said. Raising awareness to families and social groups can be your platform. Letting family members know it is okay to have an open conversation. Within your own network, you can be a diabetes advocate. Experts agree that understanding how eating and exercise habits, along with ethnicity, plays a role in diabetes risk is also key to diabetes prevention and management. For people of color, the risk for T2D and its related complications is higher than in white people, according to a 2014 article in Current Diabetes Reports. Duke noted the importance of helping at-risk groups attain the resources they need to fend off this devastating disease. Indeed, people of color on average have less access to healthy foods and safe neighborhoods, which can present challenges in leading a healthy lifestyle. Diabetes just isn't sexy as other diseases. Just the idea that diabetes is the seventh leading killer in the United States, that kills more people than HIV and cancer combined, is something not talked about, but is affecting almost 50% of Americans, Duke said. We need to give people access to better food and exercise facilities to be able to combat the disease, because when they are armed properly, it can change their outcome. How emerging needle technology is making insulin injections easier and less painful. Thinner needles are easing patient anxiety about taking their injectable diabetes medicine. The American Diabetes Association reports over 30 million Americans have diabetes. Many inject insulin or GLP-1 RAs to regulate their blood sugar, and some patients need combined or multiple daily injections, but not all patients are properly using the medicine, and some may not be using it at all. Often that's because patients need to self-inject, a process that may be painful and cause anxiety. In one study, Diabetes Attitudes, Wishes, and Needs, DAWN, found that a third of patients dreaded their insulin injections, and 22% had to mentally prepare themselves for the shots. Another study found 20% of respondents skipped insulin doses, and a third study of 27,000 type 2 diabetics who were newly prescribed insulin showed 4.5% didn't fill their first prescription, and of those that did, over 25% never refilled the initial prescription. Proper injection technique helps people with diabetes achieve the best possible health outcomes by ensuring that the precise dose of medication is delivered to the right injection site in the most comfortable manner. Droplet is the first and only national pen needle brand using 32G, the thinnest gauge needles with the thinnest needle walls, across all lengths, which range from 4 millimeters to 8 millimeters. Droplet is to be used with a pen injector device to subcutaneously inject diabetes medicines, such as insulin and GLP-1 RAs. Pen needles should only be used once and then be disposed. If a patient is making the effort to manage their diabetes by taking their medication, they should benefit from the best technology, the best innovation that's going to make their injection experience more comfortable, says pharmacist Anu Rajara, Director of Medical Marketing and Medical Affairs for Droplet. The goal of these thin needles is to minimize injection pain, making it more comfortable, so patients have less anxiety and reap the benefits of taking their insulin as prescribed. Our target is to make a very thin needle and a short needle to avoid the patient's fear of the needle, says Luca Leonardi, Research and Development Manager for Droplet. The internal diameter of the needle is important, too. Droplet is also the first and only brand using ultra-thin wall needles across all needle lengths. The thinner the needle wall, the better. The thinner needle wall allows for a larger internal opening, which produces higher flow rates of insulin, and patients report the injections are comfortable. There's a lot less effort required to activate the pen, too. As the needle's wall gets thinner, there's evidence that a lower force is needed to activate the pen, says Rajara, noting diabetics have decreased hand strength over time. We're helping patients perform proper injection technique, which is directly correlated to improved A1C levels. We encourage all injectors to review their technique with their pharmacist or doctor annually. This new technology is a welcome relief to patients who know they need their diabetes medicine, but worry about the injections. While these thin-gauge needles are cutting-edge, even thinner needles are forecasted for future applications to help ensure people injecting diabetes medicines, such as insulin or GLP-1 RAs, take them. The goal is for patients with diabetes to be able to reach and maintain healthy A1C levels by managing their lifestyle and taking their medicines as prescribed, not only to prevent progression, but also to prevent complications. We want them to be healthy and live their best lives, says Rajara. We have another column, why vitamin B supplements may help older diabetics' cognitive health. A common diabetes medication has been associated with B vitamin deficiency and cognitive dysfunction in older adults, but new research shows fortified foods and supplements can improve B vitamin levels and may help older diabetics maintain cognitive health. Researchers studied over 4,100 older people without dementia who had normal glucose or high blood sugar, known as hyperglycemia, and published their findings in the Journal of Endocrinology and Metabolism. The researchers' objective was to determine the impact of hyperglycemia and metformin use on relevant B vitamin biomarkers and cognitive outcomes in older adults. They measured biomarkers for folate, vitamin B12, vitamin B6, and riboflavin, and conducted cognitive assessments. They concluded using metformin was associated with a higher risk of deficiency of vitamin B12 and vitamin B6. Next, they determined fortified foods eaten on a regular basis had a positive impact on all relevant B vitamin biomarkers, including on people with hyperglycemia. They also found metformin use to be associated with increased risk for cognitive dysfunction. No one likes the idea of having Alzheimer's disease or dementia. Nobody wants to lose their cognitive function. These aren't necessarily complications caused by diabetes. They're complications of the medicine for the disease. Anyone taking metformin should contact their doctor to have routine blood tests on their B12 levels. Active B complex seems to be the most comprehensive and prudent approach, as B vitamins help with cellular energy production. The standard supplement dose is 2 capsules a day. Patients can also eat foods fortified with B vitamins, including bread, cereal, clams, and beef. What you need to know about a just-released nutrition report. A one-size-fits-all diabetes diet doesn't exist, but a new report from the American Diabetes Association can help you build a nutrition plan that works for you. What can I eat? If you're like a lot of people with diabetes or prediabetes, that was likely the first question you asked after your doctor delivered the diagnosis. A new report from the American Diabetes Association, ADA, published in the May 2019 issue of Diabetes Care, provides some answers based on recent research. The report, which the ADA commissions every 5 years, gives doctors, dietitians, and other members of your healthcare team recommendations as they provide therapy and guidance. A committee of clinicians, researchers, and ADA staff looked at more than 600 diabetes nutrition studies published between January 2014 and February 2018. Nutrition interventions in the studies ranged from programs focused on weight loss to alcohol's effect on blood glucose levels. Based on high-quality evidence, the committee came to an agreement on specific nutrition therapy recommendations that focus on adults living with prediabetes and type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Here's a taste of highlights from the report. 1. There is no one diabetes diet. Really. Given the wide spectrum of ages, health statuses, diabetes durations, budgets, and eating preferences within the diabetes community, it's no surprise a buffet of nutrition approaches is needed for managing type 1 and type 2 diabetes. The report encourages providers to make a referral for diabetes-focused medical nutrition therapy provided by a registered dietitian or registered dietitian nutritionist at diagnosis and then as needed. Nutrition education has been shown to help people with diabetes achieve blood glucose and weight management goals and help prevent and treat complications. 2. You have choices. Lots. A variety of eating patterns can help you manage your diabetes, from Mediterranean style to vegetarian or vegan. The report highlights the relative benefits and potential pitfalls of various approaches so that providers and patients can pursue any of them with this information in hand, says William Yancey, MD, a professor at Duke University School of Medicine, one of the report's co-authors and co-chairs of the committee. Focus on these tips, no matter what eating pattern you choose. Eat non-starchy vegetables, minimize added sugars and refined grains, choose whole foods over highly processed foods as much as possible. 3. Macronutrients may vary. There is no perfect percentage of calories from macronutrients, carbohydrate, protein, and fat, for people with or at risk for diabetes. Instead, the macro percentages can and should be individualized. The quality and quantity of foods consumed are key, says co-author and committee co-chair Allison Evert, MSRDCDE, a dietitian and certified diabetes educator at the University of Washington Medical Center. 4. Carbs are not one size fits all. There is growing research to show that low carbohydrate eating patterns can benefit people with diabetes and prediabetes, Yancey says. There's no one definition, however, for low carb. Studies of diets in which carbs made up 26 to 45% of total calories showed blood glucose benefits, a reduction in diabetes medications, and improvement in heart disease risk factors. Though the brain requires glucose, the report mentions that the body meets that need via other processes, by using carbohydrates stored in the liver, making new glucose from stored fat and protein, or burning stored fat when carb intake is very low, known as ketogenesis. 5. Weight loss works. A wide range of weight loss strategies, including dietary change, physical activity, medications, and surgery, can improve blood glucose levels and other diabetes outcomes in type 1 as well as type 2 diabetes. Important components of effective weight loss programs or therapy include an individualized eating plan that results in fewer calories in combination with more physical activity, says Evert. For type 2, the benefits of weight loss are progressive, and even a 5% weight loss makes a difference. Even better, 15% or more as needed if it can be safely achieved. 6. Tweaking your food choices can help reduce risk factors for complications. Food swaps can help people with diabetes reduce the risk for or slow the progression of cardiovascular disease and diabetic kidney disease. For instance, replace foods high in saturated fat, such as butter and beef, with those that are rich in unsaturated fats, such as olive oil and fatty fish. Evidence shows that this type of swap reduces total cholesterol and LDL, the bad cholesterol, and reduces your risk for cardiovascular disease. People with type 2 who replace high carbohydrate foods with low carb alternatives that are higher in healthy fats can improve blood glucose levels, triglycerides, and HDL, the good cholesterol. Research is lacking in type 1 diabetes. The next is titled, This New Study May Stop Diabetes in Its Tracks. Mounting evidence shows that what you eat is important for promoting good health and avoiding the development of chronic and autoimmune diseases. Because the modern Western diet features a lot of processed foods, most people are consuming too many omega-6 fatty acids found in most refined vegetable oils, meat products, and snacks like corn chips, crackers, cookies, and sweets, and not enough omega-3 fatty acids, mainly in fish, some nuts, pumpkin and sesame seeds, flax seeds, avocados, and some leafy green vegetables like spinach and kale. While both fatty acids are essential for health, an imbalance can cause harmful inflammation, particularly higher levels of omega-6. That inflammation leads to an increased risk of obesity, diabetes, and autoimmune and other serious diseases. Our diets and lifestyles have caused an epidemic of chronic degenerative disease conditions brought on by a silent inflammation. There is no pain, no fever, but it continues to attack the cells and organs of the body. Recent findings show that this type of inflammation is at the core of not only neurodegenerative diseases and type 2 diabetes, but also type 1 diabetes and other autoimmune conditions. Type 1 diabetes, T1D, occurs when the immune system mistakenly destroys the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. Inflammation may be one of the triggers that leads to disease onset. Studies have shown that people with T1D have high levels of omega-6 fatty acids and low levels of omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D. Several scientific reports suggest consuming more omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D may benefit people with autoimmune conditions like T1D. At the Diabetes Research Institute, University of Miami, we are conducting a new patient study to test whether the use of these supplements can curb the inflammation that underlies disease progression, with the goal of blocking the attack on the insulin-producing cells. Initial results with our research partners have demonstrated that a very simple intervention of high-dose omega-3 and vitamin D supplementation can slow down and even stop diabetes progression after diagnosis. The clinical trials, which will enroll both children and adult subjects with new-onset and established T1D, will help us determine if we can confirm these initial results in more rigorous controlled clinical studies. And we go to other articles in here. Diabetes can't slow down NBC's Titan contestant, Chris Rudin. One of the strongest seven-fingered diabetic powerlifters in the world, Chris Rudin has used his adversity to motivate others. He's competed on NBC's The Titan Games and has dedicated his life to keynote speaking in the diabetic community and uplifting the spirits of people diagnosed with the disease and who face other struggles. How did you manage your disease growing up? I was diagnosed at 19, so I was just going into college. I'd already battled with the mental struggle of living with a physical disability, so I used my diabetes diagnosis as a catalyst to help other people struggling with similar conditions. I managed my condition the best I could with 8 to 12 shots a day. How did you go from hiding your disease to becoming a speaker for awareness? I hid my disability for 17 years. Once I was diagnosed with diabetes, I decided I didn't want another health condition to define me. I started becoming an advocate for T1D by helping other people, which also helped me personally manage the highs and lows of the condition. Sometimes you teach best what you need to learn most. I started sharing my journey on social media, and it blew up. I've spoken to T1D kids in Uganda with the Sonia Nabeta Foundation to raise awareness for the global insulin crisis that affects everyone with diabetes, but some in third world countries far more than others. My social media presence and powerlifting accomplishments have given me a platform to inspire. And thankfully, NBC and Dwayne The Rock Johnson noticed that. What does your exercise regimen look like? I train 6 days a week. I hit most muscle groups twice a week and progress in weight or sets and reps regularly with regular deload or recovery days. Blood sugar management is key for me to perform optimally. I've got my pre-workout meal locked down, rice cake, peanut butter, and apple butter, and I know my blood sugar trends based on if I'm lifting heavy for long durations or at differing times of the day. What advice would you have for someone who is recently diagnosed? Connect with people online and local JDRF chapters. Get involved and meet other people who understand the condition. You are not alone. Also, read and learn. Most fear related to diabetes comes from a lack of knowledge regarding best management practices or resources. Read Gary Shiner's book, Think Like a Pancreas. Learn as much as you can. The biggest resource you have is just being resourceful. What is the most important issue to the diabetes community right now? The price and availability of insulin. While not much has changed regarding insulin, prices have skyrocketed by over 500%, leaving families unable to afford life-sustaining medication. We will literally die without insulin, which means it's a human need and right, not a privilege. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, WXXI.org.